Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together to worship and to praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this day, this beautiful fall day that the Lord has made. We just would like to remind all of you to please keep reading thoroughly your bulletin and also our web page and Facebook page to stay abreast of all that is happening at Alney Presbyterian Church.
The New Testament scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of God. And again Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a marriage feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again he sent another servant, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have made ready my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the thoroughfares and invite to the marriage feast as many as you find.' And those servants went off to the streets and gathered all who they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to look in at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, cast him into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make all the peoples a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy on the mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up the death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces and the reproach of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad, and let us rejoice in his salvation.'" This is the word of the Lord.
It's been a week now since the terrible evil was visited upon Israel by a terrorist group, Hamas. As I was preparing for church last Sunday morning, I first heard the news. I'm sure you heard it too. Over 1,000 people killed, over 1,000 more wounded, almost 200 more taken hostage, a horrific act of barbarism, all planned to coincide with the Jewish holiday season of Sukkot and Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing with the Torah. It's true that most of the world was caught off guard by the sheer brazenness and barbarism of the attack. But it's important to understand that it is the latest episode of a persistent cycle of violence and death that has shrouded the Holy Land for the last several decades, both as Israelis and Palestinians have battled over the land, the Holy Land. Who does the land rightfully belong to? Who has the rights to the land? That's the question that is fomented so much of the violence and death over the decades there. And even now, Israeli warplanes continue to drop bombs on Gaza, which has been described as the biggest open-air prison in the world. And so the violence and the death continues with no end in sight, indeed possibly engulfing the whole region. So there's a shroud of death, a veil that hangs right now over the Holy Land. Indeed, a veil of death that continues to hang over all of us, one that continues to hang over all people. Indeed, a veil, a shroud of death that hangs over every land. We all know that. We all live in that. We all live in the valley of the shadow of death, as the psalmist reminds us. And the events there this week remind us of how deep and dark that valley is. But that's why I appreciate our Old Testament lection this morning from the prophet Isaiah. I wasn't going to speak on this passage at all. I was actually preparing to preach on the alternate Old Testament passage from Exodus, which was a follow-up on the giving of the law that we looked at last week. But the more I thought about the deadly events taking place in the Middle East and the rest of the world, the more the power and the beauty and the promise, especially the promise of Isaiah's poetry, consoled my heart. And I hope it consoles yours as well. They're truly fascinating verses. Indeed, what's fascinating most about them is that God makes all of us a wonderful promise. God makes a number of promises, actually, but the first promise, the one that stands at the front, is that the Lord God is going to throw a great big party, a great big feast. I don't know about you, but I love parties. I love feasts whenever I can get invited to any. Maybe many people sometimes believe that we preachers are party poopers, and maybe there's a lot of truth to that. But I have to say that I love parties, I love feasts, I love eating and drinking, I love merrymaking, just as Jesus loved parties, by the way. Jesus never passed up an opportunity to party. He never passed up an opportunity to have dinner with someone. He never passed up an opportunity to be around the table. But this morning we are told that God is going to throw a party, a great big party, a feast. And it's going to be a party to end all parties. And God really knows how to throw a party. It's going to be a party with all the best kinds of food, with all the best kinds of meat and all the best kinds of bread and all the best kinds of the desserts. It's going to be a party with all the best kind of wines and all the best kind of drink. It's going to be a party where there is way more than enough for everyone. It's going to be a time for rejoicing, a time for merrymaking. It's going to be a wonderful party, a party that God throws in the midst of this debt-soaked world. But that's the promise that Isaiah conveys, that God's going to throw a great big party, a great big feast. Doesn't that sound like fun to you? Doesn't that sound like something you want to be a part of? If so, you're in luck, because Isaiah reminds us that we have all been invited. You know, often when we throw a party, we can't invite everyone. Our parties, our dinners, our feasts are always a little bit exclusive. We invite certain people and we have to leave certain people out. But in this party that God is throwing, we are reminded that we have all been invited. We've all been invited to God's feast. We've all been invited to God's party. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that wonderful? We've all been invited to God's party, but it's not just a party for you, and it's not just a party for me, but it's a party for all people. That's what the text says, all. Five times it says all. All people are invited. Think of all the kind of people who are out there. People that you're not quite sure you want to party with. People that you might not even want to be in the same room with. People that you may have declared to be your enemy. Palestinians and Israelis have been invited to the party. Russians and Ukrainians have been invited to the party. Republicans and Democrats have been invited to the party. All people are invited to God's party. All people are invited to come and partake of the feast. I'm not sure who all is going to show up, but I know who the party is for. It's for all of us. It's for all people. For all of us. Hope you're still interested. Hope it's still a party that you want to attend. You know, every party has to have a place. What's the use of having a party and being invited to a party if you don't know where to go? We all get invitations to things all the time, and it's usually a place telling us where to go, telling us where the party is going to be. Have you ever found yourself asking, where's the party? Where's the party at? The party's over here, sometimes we're told. Here's the party. But God's party has a place. And that's what the prophet tells us. It's going to be on God's place. It's going to be on this mountain. On this mountain, says the Lord, I'm going to throw a great big party. On this mountain, says the Lord, I'm going to throw a great big feast. I'm going to throw a party, and it's going to be a party for all people. Of course, the mountain that the Lord is talking about is none other than Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the mountain upon which Jerusalem was built. It's where the ancient Jewish temple once stood. It's the place where God's presence was said to dwell. It's where right now the Muslim mosque, the Dome of the Rock, stands. It's on that mountain where people, even now, are killing each other. Israelis and Palestinians are killing each other every day, fighting over it, trying to determine who belongs there and who doesn't, trying to determine who it belongs to and who it doesn't. But the Lord says that on this mountain, I'm going to throw a great big party because the mountain doesn't belong to this people or that people. It doesn't belong to this religion or to that religion. This mountain belongs to me. This mountain belongs to the Lord. And on this mountain, I'm going to throw a party for all people. For all. Hope you're still interested. Isaiah reminds us that the main attraction of the party will be the Lord himself. It'll be a wonderful time of fellowship, a wonderful time of joy, but the main attraction to the party will be the Lord himself. The Lord will be in the midst of the party. The Lord will be there wiping away every tear. Imagine that. Imagine the Lord walking through the midst of all of us, stooping down to tenderly wipe away every tear. The tears from all who are grieving and mourning. The tears of all of those with broken hearts. Imagine God stooping down to wipe away all the tears of those citizens of Israel grieving right now the loss of those who were killed in the violent terrorist attack last week. Imagine the Lord stooping down and wiping away all the tears of the Palestinians who have been killed and who will be killed in this latest episode of violence. Imagine the Lord stooping down and wiping away your tears and wiping away my tears and the tears of all of us who have ever loved and lost and grieved. All of those who have had their hearts broken and rent asunder. That's what we are told the Lord will be doing at the party that the Lord will be throwing. But that's not even the best part. The Lord's party is a wonderful thing. Wonderful, something to look forward to, but it's not even the best part. The best part is the veil. The best part is the shroud. The best part is the covering. God's going to get rid of the shroud. God's going to get rid of the veil that is hanging over all of us. God is going to destroy the veil of death hanging over all people. Imagine that this morning, if you will. Imagine that one day there's going to be no more death. There's going to be no more terrorist attacks. There's going to be no more violence that takes the innocent lives of civilians. There's going to be no more bombings. Going to be no more raids, no more hospital rooms, no more hospice centers. One day there's going to be no more cancer wards, no more automobile wrecks and accidents. There's going to be no more death. God is going to do away with death. We are told that God is going to swallow up death. At God's party. I was reading something on Facebook this week, an article where the question was posed to preachers, and the question posed was, why do you preach? Why do you continue to preach in a world that doesn't seem to make sense? Why do you continue to preach in the world that is broken and fragmented? Why do you continue to preach in a world that is veiled by a cloak of death? Why do you continue to do it? It's a good question. It's a good question, not just for preachers, but it's a good question for all of us. All of us as God's people. Why do we continue to do what we do? Why do we continue to pray? Why do we continue to gather? Why do we continue to worship? Why do we continue to do the work that God has called us to do? Why do we continue to do it in a world that is cloaked by death, in a world of terrorist attacks, in a world of war and rumors of war, in a world that doesn't make sense, in a world where no one seems to be listening? Why do we continue to do it? Why do we waste our time? Why do we bother? You know the reason. We do it because we are people of hope. We do it because we are people of the promise. We do it because we are the people who know that God has promised us a party. God has promised you a party. God has promised me a party. God has promised that one day God is going to give us all a great big party. A party where death itself will be swallowed up. And God has already undertaken to accomplish all of that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the life, in the death, in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has already undertaken to do what God has promised us to do. And that is to defeat our major enemies. We're reminded this morning that our major enemies are not each other, no matter what kind of label that we attach to the other. Our enemies are not people of different religions, different faiths. Our enemies are not people who live in other regions of the world. Our enemies are not people of different colors. Our enemy is not the people who want what we want. Our enemies are not the people that we are contesting things with. None of those categories of people are our enemies. We're reminded this morning that our enemies, the power of sin and death. As the Apostle Paul reminds us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the forces and the principalities of sin and death. And we're reminded this morning through the beautiful portrait of the prophet Isaiah that one day it's all going to be swallowed up. One day God's going to defeat the real enemy that causes us to be at enmity with each other and with God. God's going to swallow up the powers of death forever, and God's going to give us a great big feast, a great big party. That's the good news for all of us this morning. That's the good news that allows us to sing with the prophet himself, allows us to sing of what God has already done, allows us to sing the striking good news. Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. We have waited for him to come. We have waited for him to save us. We have waited for him to invite us to the party. We have waited for him to swallow up death. We have waited for him. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Friends, may we begin to live into that salvation right now as we look forward to, as we anticipate what God will do for all of us, what God will do for all people. And that is to throw us a great big party on his holy mountain. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning we come to you. We come to you in a world that is racked by all kinds of terrible news. News that has roiled our hearts. News of horrendous things that we do to each other. News of bombings and killings and shootings. But it's in the midst of this world that you have told us not to despair. It is in the midst of this world that you have told us not to give up. It is in the midst of this world that you have reminded us of who you are. That you are indeed the God of life. That you are the God of all creation. That you are the God of promise and of hope. That you are the God who has undertaken already to bring about our salvation. Lord, help us to join your party. Help us to be open to fellowship with one another. Help us to live into that reality where we don't see each other as enemies, people to be destroyed and murdered and killed and forgotten or ignored or marginalized or exploited. But help us see each other as fellow invitees of your glorious party. And we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.